Hey guys, it's Michelle Collins. Welcome to the Michelle Collins Show. It's my show, and I'm thrilled you're here. We're going to be bringing you episodes every single week with different co-hosts, the same usual nonsense, off-the-cuff humor, news, advice, pop culture. I know it's a novel concept for a podcast, but what can I say? I'm an innovator. That's what I do. You'll be getting episodes every week, but if you want to hear daily episodes, you can head over to my Patreon. That's www.patreon.com/MishCall, MichColl. I have co-hosts every single day. It's funny. It's loose. It's authentic. I do weekly episodes with my mother. If you're curious as to how someone is made this way, I highly recommend tuning into those and some video content as well, which is exciting. I'm off to contour, but I want you to enjoy this episode. It's fabulous. We adore you and we look forward to seeing you over on the Patreon.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Forever Dog.
Good afternoon, good evening. It's a nighttime pod called Midnight Snack. It's Michelle Collins. It's our very first week doing this podcast. Jared Freed, my first guest, the Tom Hanks of Midnight Snack. You can actually listen to his real podcast, the J Train Podcast. Follow him on Instagram at Jared Freed. Funniest, one of the funniest people I know. Hilarious Bachelor commentary. Wait, before we get into the question I posed on earlier this week, I was telling you, I think on earlier this on Tuesday's episode, that First Dates, which is on HBO Max, is the best show. And I'm going to tell you why it has made me realize what the Bachelor and Bachelorette is missing, which is just variety. And this show, it takes into account all races, sexualities, genders, ages, weights. So you have bigs, skinnies, and it's really, I got to tell you something, it's really scratched an itch for me in quarantine and during this whole coronavirus situation. That's what I call it. You know, this whole coronavirus situation. I don't know, pandemic, that's whatever. Pandemi Lovato. That's my new drag name.
That's the most like nice suburban town in Pennsylvania wife way to describe it. You know, this whole like pandemic.
But it's really scratched the itch of dating for me because I just miss, oh my gosh. So let's really talk. Now this is, we should have just started the podcast this way, but here we are. It took us an episode and a half, but I'm doing my job. It's fine. I was thinking, you know, I had a whole thing last year. Like I lost some weight. I was really feeling myself and I put my foot down when it came to like fuck boys and anything that wasn't serious. I'm like, you know, I'm getting older. My birthday's, by the way, in like 2-3 weeks. Happy cancer birthday. Season, everybody. Thank you. That's why I said it. Thanks, Jared. And, I was like, that's it. Like, I can't keep fucking around. I've always been so all over the map. Like, I need to focus and get my act together, right?
Sure.
And then this shit happens. And now, you know, it's funny because I'm hearing from guys who were those, let's call them what they are, like fuck boy kind of guys. They're all nice. They're not like
but looking
not
to be
creepy
casual,
or anything.
Looking to be casual, looking to hook up. Yeah.
Right. And part of me is like, all of me is just like, all right, let's go back to this. Like, I'm back. I'm like, I can't, it's sad to say, but you can't really seriously date or try to find a relationship right now with what's going on. You can't.
And there's a lot of distractions. What you just said is what a lot of people are dealing with because I get the emails every day and a lot of the guy that comes back from the woodwork and the guy that you had, that you're like, I know he was that way then, but maybe the pandemic changed him and he's looking for something more. And I hate, and those are distractions. Like I really do believe
I know,
it. Like
really.
I because
ugh,
what they're doing, because
me.
Right now there's nowhere else to go, but to your old customers.
Well, that's right.
You know,
by the way, I'm a literal old customer, right? I get 10% off on Tuesdays at TJ Maxx. Like I am.
Well, I think there's actually
to my seniors listeners. What?
There's a positive way to look at it where it's like, yeah, there's going to be a period of time when this starts to get over with where take the
like
2 weeks
from now,
let's take, or whatever it is, but like 2 weeks of like, let's get some fucks in with the old list of guys. Why not?
For me, it would be about like just getting back in the game. You know what I mean? And honestly,
getting some reps. It's like getting on stage.
You know, it's hard to say. Like, it's obviously complicated too, because I really was proud of myself last year for this, like, you know, just taking it seriously. I was like really just feeling good. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
It made it feel like, okay, this is a real thing. And now I'm just like, well, who even gives a shit? Like, I was reading this article about skin hunger. I'm sure you heard about it, where, you know, humans are meant to be. You're like, you can't see. Jared just went, yeah, I've heard about it.
Of course.
You know, that we need to be touched. Look, obviously you have a live-in girlfriend, so you don't know from skin hunger. As someone who has like physically sprayed my plants with, that sounds so gross. I've cum all over my plants. No, I paint the leaves. I pet all the leaves of my little plants. Nobody has touched me since March. True story. And I'm lucky in that I was actually having a good year. So it's not like since, you know, January.
It's even interesting to think of that from like, you haven't even had a handshake.
But that's what I'm saying. I've had like some hugs, but it's not, even they have actually felt, frankly, weird. Like, it.
Do they feel like, is it sexual weird, or is like it's weird that this is happening right
don't
now?
Don't touch me weird.
Ooh,
no, not
really?
Sexual. Like this seems unsafe.
Interesting.
And so I don't know. I'm just in this place right now, and I'm happy to know that I'm not the only person going through this, where I'm just like, what are we doing here? Like, are people, here's the question. Are people going to settle? Because it sounds like you're getting those kind of emails too, where people are hoping they can change the former F-boy into something more serious. Because truth be told, ain't going to be like it used to be.
Well, you know, it is what you're saying. It's funny that they're like, why is he coming back? And like, I'm like, there's a pandemic. There's a pandemic. Like, pandemic. Have we forgotten? Yeah. So like, I think what's going to happen is that people are going to get out of quarantine or whatever level of, and they're going to go, let's go out. And these people that, you know, may have come back into their lives are not going to be as responsive as they've been over text, as they've been over DM, as they've been. And the
doubt.
Like, the thing is, we all have been given a child. The child is the best excuse in the book. You can't say no to a child. Oh, my kid is home. I have to babysit. I couldn't find a sitter. I got to drive my kid somewhere. Sorry, I can't do it today. Oh, I have other responsibilities.
Oh, we have no lies, by the way, to get out of things, too. Can I just say, as a separate conversation,
sure.
I have talked to a couple guys who, you know, warning signs, things that I wasn't crazy about. There's no way to lie. You can't be like, sorry, I've just been so busy. I'm like, sorry, I've had a crazy weekend. Haven't been around. You know, it's hard to ghost right now. I'll be honest.
You can't ghost, but also there's nothing to ghost from, because there's no expectation of like, okay, like of hanging out. Like if you said, like, if you're on a dating app, it's like, there's a point in every dating app conversation where it's like, all right, when do we go out? You know, like,
like here, it's just like spinning wheels into the ether. I know.
And that's what it is. That's what it, and that's like, so you're going to have a lot of people that have like built this like Romeo and Juliet story over text, where they're like, I have pages. And you're like, yeah, that was easy.
Yeah.
Going out with people is harder. You know, how many times have you been happy that plans canceled before this started?
Hello.
You know, like, exactly.
Do you know that when I went Sunday to rent the car with my neighbors, we went to Budget at LaGuardia and they would only let one person inside, or like one or two people. So I had to stand outside.
I was at that same Budget at LaGuardia. I have a whole thing. Everyone's outside.
Yes.
Wrapped around the building.
Yes.
Yeah.
Did you meet Roberto?
Crazy.
There was such a nice guy, because, you know, I'm in the market to buy a car. And the guy who was driving the cars out, for people who was like poor man's Vin Diesel, he was doing donuts in like a Corolla. I was laughing.
Yeah.
He was such a nice guy. He came out of the car, and every car, he'd go, Roberto, Mitsubishi? He'd go, no, very bad. Every car he drove, I was like, Roberto, Hyundai Tucson, yay or nay? And he would say whether he liked it or not. But I was having, it's also been like, because we can't go to bars or restaurants, the place to flirt is outside of the LaGuardia Budget.
It's all happening.
I'm telling you, I stood there. First, there was a cute Italian guy with a dachshund named Henry. This dog, first of all, had a nose the size of a penny. It was so fucking cute. And he was from Puglia. And I said, oh, well, I used to summer in Milan. A lie. But I was like, oh, yes, I summered in Puglia. Not true. and we had a whole thing. And then his dad was like, because I was like, Antonio, we going? And like his like Nissan Sentra. I was like, Antonio, Henry. Then I met a guy from Denmark. It's a great place to meet foreign dudes who drive. I met a guy from Denmark. Mm-hmm. Gorgeous guy. Lived here in the city. Very small, I will say. Like, well, whatever. Anyways, got in an economy car. You know, that wasn't going to work.
Okay, but, not great. Didn't get the upsell.
Didn't get the up, but it's just, I had the best time there. And it felt good. I was like, God, I miss this. I miss like doing what I do best, which is like lighting up a room.
Sure.
Like, you know, flirting and being funny. And,
of course.
Oh, it's so fun. And you cannot maybe, do that on your phone. You know,
you can't do that, but maybe that's going to be like, maybe that wakes people up. And maybe for you, like, you go to a bar, like when they're doing outdoor seating, like you're talking to the people at the next table. You say, where are you guys going? What are you doing? How's your... And I think the idea that like, here's the one thing that we do have. When you go to college, when you're an alumnus of the same college of someone, you all automatically have like the streets in common, the bars in common, you have things to talk about. Everyone, if you're single... You have something to talk about with every guy that walks into any bar.
That's hilarious.
That's actually looking positively. Like, you're making me realize this because Puglia Page, like, you're like, hey, dude, how's your quarantine? That's the easiest conversation
starter. Know what I started? First, well, he had a little dog with him, so obviously I walked in like Jennifer Coolidge, like lips puckered, ready to kiss that little motherfucker. I was like, I need in on little Henry the Doxies. But I'm just like, where are you even driving? Like, it's so funny. The rental place was so much fun. I honestly want to film a show of me standing outside the Budget at LaGuardia just flirting. Roberto loved me. I had the best time. I'm telling you, all my life.
These were all, I think, like, other than you being the light of a room, were given, like, you know, all you need in a improv scene is yell something out. And it's like, you were given at the Budget, yell something out is where you're going.
Oh my God, I was killing it. Yeah. Everybody thought I was out of my mind. I really had fun. But this leads me to another point. Jared Fried, listen to his podcast, the J Train podcast. Follow him on Instagram at Jared Fried. We discussed, I promise I have not forgotten about our cliffhanger. But here's how this also ties into exes or... choices that we're going to make, at least for me. Now, some people, including yourself, have perhaps lost weight, gotten more fit, whatever it is, taken this time in an amazing way to improve themselves physically. Mm. Other people, what if an anvil fell on my head after I said that? Other people, piano drops. Other people, I've not actually gained that much weight, but I can see that, you know what I mean? Like, I'm okay.
I think you look great. I'm looking at you and I'm like, I don't even know what you're talking about, but I don't know your reality.
Okay. I'm having a pretty day, but also this is literally my middle name from the neck up. So, you know, there's things that happen from the neck down that we don't talk about. Melted. I call myself Melted Lumiere. Okay. And I don't want to get into it, but stupid. But I do feel like when this whole thing is over with, no one's going to be really, very few people are going to be as hot or hotter than they were before quarantine started. Right.
I'm with you.
You get what I'm saying? So part of me is also like a lot of these single guys, especially who used to be able to fuck around and do whatever they wanted, they might also not look as hot when this thing is over with. And they might know that.
You coined the term on my podcast, quarantines.
I did do that. Yes.
You coined that term.
I'm in mine.
And I loved it. And I think we're all... And then I went on a rant on another podcast about how we should be allowed to have... stretchy pants summer. Like, we should be...
Yeah, SPS,
we
baby.
Should be allowed to wear SPS. SPS, every event, you should be allowed to wear stretchy pants and a big sweatshirt. It doesn't matter how
look
ridiculous...
Look what I'm literally wearing. I want you to look at what I'm wearing. I'm wearing a gigantic sweater, and I had to buy special quarantine jeans on ASOS, which we talked about, that are made from... I mean, the stretchiness levels of these, they're like old Stretch Armstrongs melted into a pair of pie-catching pants. Like, they're so big and so stretchy, but it feels nice to have on. But you get my point.
I get your point. And what happens is, especially, like, I'm working out and I know I am just trying to stay at even. Like, I'm just trying to, like, with this working out with the trainer. But I'm like, there is moments where I'm like, I do feel, like, I'll say to my girlfriend, I'll be like, I do feel like I'm getting fit, and I'm looking for her to be like, yeah, you've lost like 30 pounds. And then she'll go, You know, I don't know. You know, like, you have to respond the right way. Like, people...
Well, that's what I'm saying. You got to be careful. Because I've actually lost... Let me be real with you. This was many years ago, but... Well, that's not really true, actually. You know, I'm very... I'm not insecure. I'm secure and I'm insecure. I'm sure there's a word for it in the DSM-4 or whatever.
Yeah.
Where I think highly of myself and I respect myself. But then I also like to self-deprecate. And I have... You know, I'm a comedian. So I have... things that physically I wish I could change. And of course I do nothing to change, but I do. Well, you know, I have entrapped people before. This happened years ago. This particular question I haven't asked in a long time, cause I learned my lesson, where I said to a friend at the time, I go, have I gained weight? Like, do I look like I've gained weight? Worst thing you can say. And by the way, on me, am I taking the blame?
You can't say it. Yeah. You can't say it.
I was young. I was in my 20s. And frankly, it's a question that I think I've still asked people, but real friends, even if I'm rolling into the room, Mrs. Basket style, are going to say, you look fucking great. Stop. Yeah. Like, you look gorgeous. No matter if you gain weight, you lose weight, you just say, you look good. That's all people want to hear. Lie to their face.
Just, yeah, and that should be the only response.
I had one friend who didn't. And we were no longer friends. She was like, you have gained some weight. And I was like, that's not going to work for me.
I mean, horrifying.
I was like, are you crazy?
Horrifying.
I
do the thing where if someone, here's what everyone needs to do.
Yes.
If someone comes to you and goes, ugh, I feel so fat from quarantine, just go, you look amazing. Just
That's it.
That's all you have to say.
You always look good. Stop.
End
you always
the
look
sentence
good.
That there. I would say you stop it. You look amazing, period. Don't go. And then here's the worst response, because I've had this happen to me where I go, ugh, I just feel gross and fat, and I've been drinking like crazy all quarantine. And then some asshole will go, well, you know, you got to have lean proteins and you got to work out.
No.
And it's like, no. I didn't come to you for fucking Jillian Michaels advice. Yeah. I didn't come to you for The Biggest Loser.
Yeah.
These people that like, no. I came to you for you to say, you look amazing. Stop.
Lie to my face is really what this should be called. Just stare at me and fucking lie to me, dude.
It's the only right answer because
I know
what people are looking to do. Like right now, like what people are looking to do is just have someone go is what they're doing by saying it. Like if I say I feel like shit, I feel so fat, I'm doing it so I don't look like a delusional person walking around. I'm doing that to check in with everybody.
You right now saved me just now. I'm not kidding you. Thousands of dollars in therapy with what you just said.
Really?
I'm not kidding you actually. Cause I have to be honest with you, Jared. When I do say that, I know that it's a really needy thing to say. I'm aware of it. I think that women have been trained, and especially Jewish women with my particular mother, have been trained to have, you know, be sensitive about their weight or whatever it is, that when I say that I feel fat or whatever, which I don't, I actually have really learned to not do it. Just so the listeners don't think that I'm an actual nightmare person. Mm. I've really, really gotten good at not going there. Okay. Like I think I still do it, but I've checked myself a lot. Right. But when I say it, it's exactly what you just said, so that other people don't think that I don't know. It's so that it's like, just so you know, I know you're thinking it. I know. That's all. We can move on. I'm acknowledging it, and let's continue.
And it is an acknowledgement, and you mentioned
you're
something.
So right.
Jewish mothers are like what you're doing is you're getting ahead of what you've heard your Jewish mother say to you. Like my mom, I taped a video, and she was like, your hair, I don't know what you're doing. And I'm like, yeah, we're not allowed to get haircuts here. I'm doing the best with what I have. Like, you're not, like, informing me. So, like, this is, like, I don't know if it's a Jewish mother or just an overbearing mother, but I know.
Is there an actual difference?
The Venn diagram middle
it's
is very big for that group. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, but I, you're basically getting ahead of the response you know you would get from your mom if
that's
you walked
it.
In from college. Like walking in from college for Thanksgiving break after first few months of freshman year and your parents pull you aside and they're like, you're just not dressing right. I don't like what you're doing with the drinking and
you
your face
no
doesn't look good. But and so what you're doing is you're getting ahead of the things you've heard said to you over a lifetime that you assume everyone is the same monster as your mom who has given you this response.
And thus concluding a new episode of The Monster That Is Our Mom. Because honestly, yes, you really just cracked it for me in a way that felt very healthy. And it's funny because my mom, I don't know if she'll listen to this or not, but, you know, I have 100%, like, since I moved away, which I moved out of my parents' house when I had just turned 17 to go to college. I was, like, very young. But again, yeah. I looked like, you know, Jessica Tandy in the coffin. You know what I mean?
Sure.
And I left. And I left. And I have called her out on, like, the constant physical checking of me, like, meaning calling me big, calling me this, calling me that, which stays with you your whole life, basically, you know? And now it doesn't matter. I could walk into my mother's house looking like Gwyneth and Shallow Hal. And by the way, what a horrible movie that is, by the way. But you know what I mean by that? Like, I could just get huge. And my mother would go, you look beautiful. You, well, she knows that she fucked me up. She's like trying to like rewrite history.
My mom has not gotten that far. And when I walk in, I am a contestant on America's Next Top Model, and it's Tyra Banks and, you know, what, and my dad just looking me up and down. And I can feel it. I feel it the minute I walk through the door, and then it'll be like, when I look good, they'll go, wow, oh my God. And it's like, at that moment, and it's bad because we're a part of this. Like, I'll do the, yeah, I do look good. You know, like, I'll play into the, when it's good, it's good. And when it's bad, it's like, lay the fuck off of me. I woke up, you know, like, I have had moments where I've flown to see them. And I'm like, yeah, I.
Since quarantine started?
No. This is like back when I would like doing shows till 4 a.m, hosting having them say, get on the 6 a.m. flight, and then going, You know, you should be taking better care of yourself. I'm like, do you know what I did to get here? Like, you're
like on a hand car.
Yeah.
I'm at LaGuardia's budget being like, you look terrible. What are you driving?
What happened?
Where are you driving? You look awful. my opening hit at LaGuardia's budget, rent a car. No, I really agree with that. I love that. And I'm glad that we got it out of the way because it, for me, it's really been a thing where I'm just nervous when everyone's going to be back on the streets. Like, I'm noticing the people have just decided that we're all dressing like shit. And I went out on Saturday to have like a street margarita, and I did dress my ass up because I was not like in a crazy outfit, but I wore like a dress and sandals. You know, I was like, this is going to be fun.
So,
and people are in pajamas. They don't care anymore.
And it's also like, you're not sure if that's okay. You're like, it, like, right now, everyone's kind of down each other's throats about like what's good, what's right. Like, have you seen? So I, my girlfriend, and I did that. When they opened up one night, we're like, let's go and do a date night.
Fun.
And we get dressed. We're doing the shower thing. We're putting on the creams. Mm. She's doing her hair. We
sensual.
Walk down. We get downstairs. We get one of those like street margarita. No, we got Aperol spritzes in the bags.
Yummy.
We walk to a restaurant that has outdoor seating. We go and we felt so good.
Yeah.
And honestly, with what's happening in the world, it's tough to like let yourself have those moments because you're like, I don't want to be ignorant to the things that are going on, but I also want to make sure that we take care of ourselves and have our night. So we're like having our night and we're walking to Soho. You see like, you know, places boarded up. You're like, it feels like I'm in an alternate universe. And then you see like the paintings that people are painting up on those boarded
the murals
walls
and everything.
And you're like,
yeah.
That's like, and you're like, wow, the world is changing. I hope for the better. And you're
obviously
hopeful.
Yeah.
And we get to the restaurant. They have four tables and it's us and three other couples. And we're like, and then all of a sudden the restaurant's like, we got a band coming. We're like, oh my God, the band plays at the end of them playing.
You were inside or outside?
Outside. So it's on the street outside with tables.
What restaurant was this with a band?
Antique Garage. I'll give them a plug.
Know it well.
So yeah. They have a two-piece band inside. They finish their song, all four, six tables. It's called six tables that are all full. We all clap.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, we're like, thank you. The woman in the band, she gets on the mic. She goes, no, you don't understand. We've been inside for 3 months. That, you don't know how much it means to us to like play for you guys. And
oh
me,
my God.
You know, you and I, the artiste,
no,
we're
artists.
Like, we understand. You know, like, I understand. I'm like, and everyone in that restaurant felt so good about themselves. We're like, and everyone working there. Like,
I was waiting for a punchline. I'm not going to lie. But I was like
coming.
On the edge of my seat. Okay.
So we all.
I'm like, Jared.
We
I
all.
Love-
let me build
oh, no.
this up.
Okay,
we felt
you are.
So good. And the wait staff, they couldn't have been nicer. The band,
I love it.
We're like clapping. All of a sudden, we get done clapping. A guy from a protest comes walking by and he just starts screaming, "Fuck your brunch! White silence is white violence! Fuck your brunch!" And we're like, oh my God, what the fuck just happened? We went from the good guys to the bad guys three fucking seconds.
That's
and
right.
Someone, and then people across the street who were also at the protest that this guy was at started clapping for him.
And he's like, "I haven't done that in 3 months. Do you know how good that felt? Yelling, fuck your brunch." Yeah, and everyone's like, "Woo!" Like
and we're like, what just happened here? And it's like, we went from we're supporting the community, we're supporting small business, to like, we're happy too quickly.
You're racist.
And we're racist. And the guy who yelled at us was Asian. We're like, well, what? Like, you know, and like, if there was a video taken, it would be me with a white wine glass, just like, like,
ask
what?
Jeeves.
How could I'm you? Like, I was a part of the
Great Gatsby.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And it's
I went to a protest, by the way.
Okay.
And I want to go on the record. I went to a protest. You know, I've been every morning on my show, really, like, really focused on talking about everything. People listening to know if they're wondering why it hasn't come up here in this week.
Yeah.
Truly, every morning we have guests on who have written books about racism and anti-racism and feminism within the Black community and all kinds of things like that. Really interesting, fascinating people. And I went to a protest 2 weeks ago, a local one. It was a small one. It wasn't like one of the big Union Square, you know, let's like whatever.
An intimate gathering.
It really was. But there was a speaker. She was great. It was, I really enjoyed isn't the right word. I felt something. I was like, okay, this, you know, I want to help be part of the change instead of, you know, having going to the antique garage, no offense, and having Aperol spritz. But at one point they were like, everyone get on your knee, like take a knee, obviously, as a symbol. Yeah. And which, of course, I completely support Colin and everyone who's done it. I supported Colin years ago when he did it. I thought it was ridiculous that we were even having that. The guy got fired over it is a crime, honestly.
Yeah.
But, you know, I have that loose bone shard in my bad knee.
That's right.
So I couldn't get on my knee. Like, literally, I could not. I can't. Even funny enough, and I'll prove it, is that my friend Isaac does these workout classes called Torched on Instagram Live. Mm-hmm. And he's been begging me to do it. And I was like, finally, I'll do it. And I got my yoga mat out. And I literally couldn't be on my knees. Like, I genuinely, sorry to all the gentlemen out there who are listening, could not. I can't get on my knees. And I was like, well, this is something. So I had to sit, like, on my butt. It just looked like I wasn't like, I felt bad. I was like, yes, knees. I was like, yeah, like I'm into this, but I couldn't.
What if you were just waving a doctor's note? You're like, I'm with
bad.
You spiritually, like, but
you know,
I have a bone spur.
I have a bone.
And
that's Trump's thing, the bone spur. I have a shard, Jared. It's a loose
It's a loose shard.
Shard.
I'm with you, but I can't be kneeling. I have my orthopedist.
I mean, it's a terrible thing. I'm not mocking this. I'm mocking me, obviously, just
course.
So people listening.
Of
no, because, you know, I don't want anything to. But I really felt bad. So I sat just with on the dirty street. I was like, well, I guess we're doing it. So I just sat my ass down because I couldn't not sit. I was like, I can't be. And I'm 100 fucking feet
this
tall.
This is you know? So funny to me. I love that. Like,
it's
I love
curb.
That because
it's curb.
It's
I know.
Again, like just like the garage, you know, it's all a curb episode because it's like, especially when you're amongst people who are trying. Like today, there was an interview I saw online of like just an open Nazi. This guy's just like a Nazi.
What?
And he was in Pennsylvania in this small town of like 800 people. They're like, the whole town's embarrassed because this one guy is just
they got
like
a Nazi there.
A literal, and he's like got the swastika on the lawn and they're doing interviews with him for the news and they're like, and he's like, I just think we've been misunderstood. Like, he's talking about it as if it's like,
how come American Nazis are so fucking ugly? You know, when I watch Nazis,
not a beautiful
I'm a Jewish
group.
Person.
Yeah.
No. But in Germany, the Nazis, when I see pictures of some of those Nazis, I'm like, okay. Like, you know, I, you know, they're all monsters, but I'm like, all right. And then you look at the American Nazis, I'm going, that's why you fucking hate this country. Even our fucking Nazis are hideous. Like,
we do not have a good looking group of
edit
Nazis.
Edit this out.
I think we can keep this.
Listen, I'm Jewish. I'm going to put lipstick on after saying it. I don't care. I don't care.
Yeah, I just think it's like we're going to find more of the, you know, what everyone's saying, you should be uncomfortable, which is like being uncomfortable is also funny. You know, like it's like.
Well, it is. I mean, listen. Yeah,
Look, you were uncomfortable in that moment. Like, well, you didn't have your doctor's note.
Yeah. No, I was very, I really was uncomfortable. I was like, oh, this is, and also the speaker, it was funny because they had, I never knew that this was a thing. It was, it's like an app where it connects to your speaker via Bluetooth. So you don't have to plug in. Have you seen those? I've never seen it. So you talk into your phone and then it amplifies it on a separate.
Okay. Makes sense. Which, okay.
It's actually a very cool program, but it was kind of a small group of us and the speaker was quite loud in a good way. Like she had a good voice. So it was like, hello, everyone. Hello, everyone. It was like so annoying. So her whole speech was like, had like a drop shadow in Photoshop to it. You know what I mean? It was just like an echo. It was so annoying. I was like, God, can they just turn that shit off? Anyway, yes. No, but you know what's funny too is like I have for years and years, I'm not saying that I have learned so much these past couple months, really. I mean, really a lot. But it's not like I was living in my stupid world. Like I was aware of the fact that like there were incredible injustices to the Black community and how unfair and you looked at every writer's room out there and there's no Black people. I mean, it's like, this is not something I just discovered. We all knew that.
Yeah.
And it was horrible. And we should have protested 10, 20, 50 years ago.
Well, yeah.
It's frustrating.
I think it's nice that like comics are getting recognized and like so many bits are going viral. Like, I think that's like very helpful because it personalizes it. I saw this comedian who talked about these things and how it related to their life. Like, that is so, like, I like that people are getting, you know, recognized, you know, in that way. And yeah. I think it is helpful to hear people's stories more than just, you know, maybe a hashtag. You know, like a story, you go, wow, I you can put yourself in the shoes and you can say, wow, that felt bad. So I think that those are good things that are coming out.
Oh my gosh. Listen, I'll tell you this. It's been for me and as someone who has not been blind to the injustices of this country specifically, it has been an incredibly illuminating time. I really mean that. Like I've read books for my show about just things I've never even really had to consider before. So I actually have really learned a lot. I've heard speakers talk about really fascinating things. What are you going to say?
But also you being involved in comedy, like we are amongst so many, there's a voice in comedy for every type of person. Like if
not to be like that, but literally my three favorite comics of all time are Eddie, Martin, and Chris.
Sure.
So it's like three top three.
But even but you would go to open mics, you would hear from people you never would have heard from your small community of people that you grew up with. Like, you know, I see it with my friends from college. Like when I started doing open mics, people were like, oh, you're the bro. And I'd be like, I don't know. I was like, I look like all my friends, you know? But to me, like, that's what you only know your own reality. And I think like, you know, so it's with, you know, when you say like, I've been doing this for years and years and aware, you're also amongst a more eclectic group than you would have been had you not gotten into comedy.
I hear what you're saying. Yes, yes, yes.
Well, which is nice.
Yes. No, that's also by way of just like watching everything on TV and growing up in Miami, which was already a very diverse place. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like I was already, I was exposed to so many different cultures growing up too, you know? So it's not just this one thing, but actually, can I end the episode with a recommendation that I have?
Sure.
That I think you should watch. Okay. So I'm home one day scrolling through my channels. I mentioned how I love First Dates UK. I recommend everybody watch the show. It is now, the most satisfying show.
I think I have seen it. Because when I was in London, it was on all the time.
That's right. It's so funny. Well, by the way, just as a quick side note, the most frustrating thing is when there's a date that they have great chemistry and you're like, oh, this is so fun. Like they're definitely going to go on a second date. And then the way that every date ends is that they bring them into a room together and they're always like so shy, like, hello, hi, you know, whatever. And then they go, do you want to see each other on a second date? And they always say the same thing. As friends, like I didn't really feel a spark. I felt no spark. And I'm always like, I can't even open my eyes. It's like sucking a lemon where I'm like, this is why, you know, how many times before you had your girlfriend, how many dates have you been on where you had amazing chemistry with someone? You were just like, this is it. Like this is, and then you never hear from that person. And I'm like,
oh, absolutely.
This is such bullshit that people are so stupid that they don't realize when they have a natural chemistry. But I guess if you don't feel it with someone, you don't.
You also don't know why that person's there. They did they did a celebrity one, didn't they?
They did, and it was in England. They did, and it was bad.
Yeah, it was. I watched the celebrity one, and it was like they went shopping. I think.
The celebrity one was not good because everyone was like really aware of the camera. There was one cute couple on it, but everybody was like, hello. You know, they all showed up like not nervous. They were like, oh, gonna be on TV. Like it wasn't a new thing for them, you know?
I just thought it was such like a, what a leap as a celebrity to go on that show and be like, I guess I'll go on a first date. Like you have to show what you're like on a first. Can you imagine seeing what like, you know, like
I would do it in a heartbeat if they did it in America in a split second. And you know that they would fuck with me and put me with, you know, that it would just be like comedy gold, like just whoever they match me with.
Love
but wait,
it.
But there's another show that I discovered called Date My Family. I see on my little Time Warner grid, I call it. Yeah. You know, I say I'm on the Time Warner spectrum.
Yeah.
Anyways, I'm searching through the grid. And I see a show called Date My Family. And I'm like, what is this? And this has us written all over it.
Yeah, of course.
Click on it. It's on a channel called The Africa Channel. I've never heard of this channel. They have amazing shows. It's a lot of programming from South Africa. This is a South African show. They're in Pretoria. They go to Cape Town. It's really interesting. And it's where they have, you're going to die. It's let's say if it's a man dating a woman. So he, instead of meeting the woman, he meets three women's family and friends. Like he goes over to their house to be served dinner.
Oh, this is like Date My Dad, right?
Exactly.
Yes. I like this concept.
It's phenomenal. And then they pick the woman or man or whoever that they want to date based on who they had the best time with at the meal. And at the very end, the way that they announce who got the date, it's so funny. They have like this like Volkswagen. And the driver, everyone's like dressed up, like all the women are like dressed, their families, the nicest people. And they wait and the car comes up and then a guy just walks out with a bottle of wine if they didn't get the date. if they didn't get the date, it's like, here's a bottle of wine. And then they have to like, it's so funny. And they're just like, oh no, they're holding this wine. They're like, okay, like they don't know what to do.
The saddest happy hour ever.
Like you're going to need it.
I guess he hated us.
And then when the date happens, the guy or girl, whoever gets out of the car.
So the guy meeting the family chooses the family they want.
Exactly. Chooses who he wants to go on a date with based on the family and friends that he met.
I love that because sometimes it's the family chooses. When it was Date My Dad, it was
opposite.
The family chooses which one. And it's like, no, I like this more because it's like, it's just, this is kind of like on the same vein of like every family thinks they're like, we're crazy, but we're fun. Who wouldn't choose us? You know?
And by the way, some of them are like kind of mean. It's so funny. It's really, really great show. My only thing is that they don't have enough episodes because it's on every day and I DVR it. And it's like, I've seen the same seven like over and over again. But that's my tip. If you're looking for new programming, First Dates and Date My Family. It's a really great show. And I don't know. It's just a good show. I've just fallen into it.
I mean, that's legitimately the best episode of The Bachelor is meeting the family.
Hello. By the way, I know we really have to wrap, but you also do these charcuterie reviews.
Yes,
of people's TikTok. Quickly before we go, when did this become a trend? Because I'm not on TikTok.
So I had no idea that charcuterie was a thing.
Yeah.
And I tweeted a year ago, legitimately a year ago, I tweeted, I can tell what type of parent you'll be by your charcuterie board. Because I started seeing them. And then people started responding, sending me their charcuterie boards. So I would just review them. And then I didn't realize it was like a thing. Like everyone was making because you don't need to be a chef to make one. Everyone thinks theirs is good.
And
everyone
takes them
and they're pretty. And they're taking a picture of them after they're done making them. So every woman, generally women, would have a picture of a charcuterie on their phone. So I get sent like 100 a weekend, like every weekend. And over the holidays,
that's so
it's even
exciting.
Worse. So I started yelling at them, but now they're being put on TikTok. So now I've really gone through the whole thing. And now I do reviews on my podcast of like different things I see. And it's just, you know, it's like those families. Like I love anything that doesn't really matter. That people like are so cocky about, like
passionate, yes,
passionate. Because you poke one hole. Like, listen, it's not to say that every board that I look at, I'm like, yeah, it's fine for some occasion. I don't know which, but then
what's the worst thing you've seen?
I get really annoyed when I can tell the board was made for social media and not for the party. I get really annoyed by that because it is just. You're messing with people's appetites.
Yeah.
If you go to a party where if you're going to a party, you're skipping lunch, right? You're going, yeah, I want to walk. There's going to be food there. You know, I want to make sure I'm hungry. I don't want to walk in. I'm going to be wearing my nice clothes. I want to make sure.
Isn't it funny?
Well.
I always eat before a party, and I'm going to tell you why.
Why?
You never know what the food situation is going to be like. So I always put a base layer of food in my body because I also know I'm going to drink for sure.
Sure.
Because drinking alcohol is an easy one. Food, you never know. Some people's dips look a little dry. Like, you just don't know what's going to happen.
This might be like a male-female thing because, like, as a guy, I'm like, I want my suit to fit. I want, like, I want to
walk. Well, you don't think I want my dress to fit, but I still
eat. I'm sure
you
do. But I'm saying, like, the idea that, like, if they're serving food, this is your first introduction of food at the party, the charcuterie board.
That's right.
And so someone who's walking in hungry is getting served a big fucking flower that's taking up space that could have been meat. Mm. Like, you cared about something that wasn't your guest. And that drives me crazy. Like,
yeah, that's fair. That's fair. When I watch you talk about people slicing processed foods, that's what kills me. When it's like that waxy cheese that they just... peeled the condom
spongy,
off of,
yeah.
That's spongy, and then they're chopping it up, and it's just, there's something about also the scattering of the meats that bothers me, and I don't know what it is, but there's a way that the fingers sort of spread the slices.
Yeah, the way they have
me.
To fold them up, yeah. And you're like, I don't want to see that process, then they're showing it, but they think they're great for it, and you're like, it is also
horrendous.
Like, I could do the same segment about people's kids.
Yes.
But you can't because it's their kids. People get offended.
So, all I want to do is insult children. So please, yeah, you know how I am. Come on.
I know how you are. So
how lucky are we that we don't have kids, by the way? I mean, really, I heard a child
crying. During
these
times?
Yes.
Best thing. We lucked out.
Jared Fried, funniest person, loveliest guy. Jared, you know I adore you so much.
I love you so much. Thank you so much for having me.
I just love you too.
To be your opening guest is such a compliment. Thank you.
It was really fun, and I knew that you'd bring it, and you sure did. And follow him on Twitter and on Instagram, at Jared Fried, F-R-E-I-D. Listen to his podcast, the J Train Podcast. I'm not just saying this, probably the best host. I mean, when you host, you really are a train. It comes through, it's well-lit, speedy. I don't know what I'm saying. I'm going to end this. Guys, this has been the first episode of Midnight Snack with Michelle Collins. If you want to follow me on Instagram at MishCall or on Twitter. It was just such a pleasure to be able to bring you this episode. And we'll see you right back here next Tuesday. Have a great weekend, guys. Bye.
Forever.
This has been a Forever Dog production. Executive produced by Brett Boehm, Joe Cilio, and Alex Ramsey. For more original podcasts, please visit foreverdogpodcasts.com and subscribe to our shows on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Keep up with the latest Forever Dog news by following us on Twitter and Instagram at Forever Dog Team and liking our page on Facebook.
And that's the episode. We hope you loved it. Again, if you want to hear this show every single day, go to www.patreon.com/MishCall, M-I-C-H-C-O-L-L. You can also follow me on Instagram, X, TikTok, all the things. MishCall, M-I-C-H-C-O-L-L. I'm running myself into the ground for content, and I want you to be a part of it. So we'll see you over there. And thanks again for joining us. Bye, guys.